And the order of business today is House Bill 366. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? Thank you. Seeing nothing, let's begin. Lisa, you're going to present 366, sponsored by Representative Dyson, and you're here acting in his stead. Please go ahead, and anyone would like to ask questions while you're giving the bill, we'll certainly entertain those questions.
At least there's a little humor in the Capitol these days. Mm-hmm. My name is Lisa Torkelson. I'm staff aide to Representative Fred Dyson, and the bill before you today is a preventative measure to prevent DFYS from coming in and taking a child or declaring a child in need of aid based on the sole basis that the family is poor, homeless, or lives a lifestyle that isn't considered quite normal. For instance, we had I know of a friend of mine whose sister turned her in to DFYS for being a vegetarian. The kid was healthy, and it took my friend quite a while to get everything cleared up and show that the child was healthy, and it just caused a lot of problems. And my boss, Fred, has lived in the past on a boat. He just moved off a boat, actually. But he's had his family living on a boat, living in a tent while they were building their cabin. He goes fishing, so like Fred says, if some back east, some East Coast person comes in, starts working for DFYS, and they look around Alaska and think, boy, these people are kind of strange, they're living on boats and tents and rusty old cabins or whatever, these children aren't safe. We just want to make a preventative measure for that. And that's really the only thing that this bill does is preclude DFYS from coming in. If they find a child is sexually abused and the family is poor, then they can go in on the sexual abuse, but not solely because it meets one of these three criteria.
Thank you, Lisa. And for the record, I'd say that this is a work session until we get a quorum and recognize Senator Lehman. Welcome him. Lisa, Representative Dyson said, Ms. Webker, do you want to speak with us? Or just, if we need you, we'll yell. Huh? And the legislation that we considered on Wednesday has this embodied in it?
Correct.
So if the legislation on Wednesday passes, this passes.
Correct.
Or this language addresses this.
Or else, if this bill passes, then we'll just remove it from SB 272.
Is there any differences between this and the language in 272?
I don't believe so.
Same thing.
I didn't double check, but I brought this to be the same as what we had in the governor's bill.
So it'd be safe to say this is a little bit of an insurance policy.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Questions? I'd like to welcome Senator Green. Good morning.
Thank you.
Senator Lehman?
Chairman, Lisa, I'm sorry I got here late, and I'm sure you went through and described what this means, but what does adequate housing mean? And then I'm going to ask you about...
Living in a shelter. If somebody considers a person, they don't have any housing, so they're living in a shelter with their family, they might think that they lack adequate shelter or lack adequate housing. Because the housing that they are using isn't theirs. I wonder, maybe Susan could, I don't know what you would consider adequate housing.
Tent.
Okay, tent may not be considered adequate.
Is this defined somewhere, what adequate housing is, or is this just sort of left to our imagination?
Ms. Webker, why don't you come up and help us just a little bit?
That I'm not sure.
I'm Susan Webker, an assistant attorney general with the Department of Law, and had the opportunity to work with Representative Dyson on this, and we support this amendment. There is not a specific statutory definition of adequate housing.
What would it mean to you?
If a family doesn't have, a home that would be like, I don't know, wood or brick or a structure, if a family's not living in a structure, the department could not take legal custody of their children just because they don't have a roof over their head, a structure.
A permanent structure?
Or, yeah.
Is it an automobile?
I'm sorry?
Exactly. Somebody might make a call to DFYS and say those people are raising their kids in their car. And if that's the only problem, the social worker should not be taking legal custody of the children on that alone. If they're well fed, they're not being injured, they've got adequate clothing, the department should not use that as grounds to decide that they should be in the custody of the department.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Green.
Okay, Susan, what if then it's 20 degrees below or it's 102 degrees and you're living in a car with children?
And okay,
that give you another...
It wouldn't give you grounds to take legal jurisdiction of the kids unless what the worker would do is try to help the family get into a shelter or get into a warm place. If the kids' health and safety is at risk and the family is not able to do anything about it, even when offered assistance, then the department might be able to take custody because their health and safety is at risk.
Right, Colin. Senator Green, welcome Representative Dyson, bill's sponsor. Good morning. Senator Green?
Okay, I know that currently there are parts of, I guess, DFYS and various assistance groups that who do nothing but go and train people how to get their house in order so that they live a normal life and they know the things about sanitation and cooking and all. Would this prevent those services from being offered?
Not at all. I mean, many times when a worker goes out to a home, what they do is offer to assist a family with getting things they need. I mean, sometimes they discover a family member that might qualify for some kind of service. They don't know about it. They don't know how to do the paperwork to get it. Nothing precludes the worker from saying, can I assist you with getting whatever it is, medical care, food, emergency shelter?
Senator Green?
What happens to the child if a child is found to be in need of aid? Are they removed from the home?
Not automatically, no. There's a legal burden you have to meet for legal custody that is separate from removal. Most of the children in legal custody of the state are at home. Removal is a separate legal burden and a separate question.
So a child in need of aid could just be under the oversight.
That's correct.
Of the department,
and living
the
with
home.
Their parents. That's correct.
Okay. In the absence of establishing a child in need of aid, what is the difference in the level of service or involvement that would go to that family or that child if there's not been a determination of child in need of aid?
If there's not a determination of child in need of aid, if the child's not in the legal custody of the state, is that the question? Then a worker could offer on a purely voluntary basis any kind of assistance to the family. If the family was interested in having assistance or just voluntarily doing something that might be helpful, it would purely be an informal, voluntary relationship. If the family, under those circumstances, if the family said, butt out, we're not interested, the worker would have no grounds to do anything. They would just have to back out.
Mr. Chairman, I have another question, because I just happened to have had this conversation with one of our DFYS workers in Natsu not too long ago, and he was telling me what a wonderful tool they have And I don't know if these are families that are established as child in need of aid or children in need of aid, but in their relationships with these families, in forcing is the wrong word, but strongly encouraging a change in the lifestyle, in sanitation, food preparation, and the general, and which would be in the last sentence here, for just different from the generally accepted lifestyle standard. And I'm talking about us, just a slovenly, you know, circumstance. And he was saying that their ability now to work with that family is much greater because of the hammer they have. Is that hammer removed by this?
I don't believe so. I'm gonna guess what the worker is talking about. I think what the worker is saying, when they go out and they don't have legal grounds to do anything, but they want to make suggestions to a family. Sometimes in cases like that, if a family just said absolutely not, the question would be, if the family doesn't do this, then later would it give rise to the state taking legal custody? Let me think of an example. Say a social worker goes out and the house is filthy. You can't take legal custody just on the basis of a filthy house. If the house presents, say, the risk of hepatitis to a child because feces is all around, you've got a health hazard. What the worker would do there is say, you know, you really need to clean the house up. You know, what can we do to help you get this done? You know, is it not happening because somebody's too depressed? Is it not happening because somebody just thinks this is okay? The family might say, you know, we'll clean it up, come back in 3 days, it'll be fixed. The family might say, butt out, this is none of your business. The worker then has to assess, and this might be where the hammer would come in, is the health risk enough that this, you know, is the chance that the child's going to actually get a disease or get an infection enough that legal custody would become a problem? And in those cases, sometimes you consult, you know, a doctor. You know, there's feces around the house. What's the risk to this child? What should we be doing? Is it something we can ignore, or is it something where we need, if we need to take legal custody to get it cleaned up, then can we use that hammer and say, get it cleaned up, or we're going to move in and take legal custody because your child's at risk of being very sick?
Let's have one more question.
Mm-hmm. Senator Green.
Okay, and you said the department supports this? Is that what
the department does support it?
Okay. Do the field workers support this?
I haven't talked to all the field workers. What the department does is circulate it at all levels and just invite comment.
Thank you.
Representative Dyson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've got to quit meeting like this. People are going to
stay. I know.
This bill, I think I mentioned it last week, has also been put into the 275, and I got started on it because my wife and I got involved with one sister who reported her sister to DFYS because the kids were being malnourished, and in fact they were vegetarians, you know, and they had to go and do an investigation and so on and so forth. And I don't think that they were in jeopardy of taking custody of the kids, you know, but I could see how it could be. And there's a family lives near me down here that have, they, their 16-year-old kid has never lived ashore in his whole life. They live on a boat. He's going to Juno Douglas High School, and they're moored right across the road, and so on and so forth. You know, and I lived on a boat most of my young life, and for a period, we moved every time the rent came due, you know, and so on. And I'm just, my concern was that the status, you know, that my kids lived in a tent for 5 months while we were building our house, you know, that the status not be considered a grounds, that the kid had to be at risk before, of in danger, having been harmed, or serious demonstrable risk of it before the department could go after it. And I don't know if this being abused. I'm looking to the day when there's a less enlightened and professional group out there that might be. And we kind of here in Alaska rejoice at our diversity. You know, I've spent a lot of time working and living in the bush. You can foresee the day when people say, hey, if your house doesn't have indoor plumbing, you know, we're going to take your kid. you know, and those are the kinds of things that I was concerned of. You raise legitimate questions. Mm-hmm. And I hope that, I think they're groundless, but I think they're good questions.
Good. Oh, that's the best thing, yeah.
Other discussion? Senator Lehman?
I'd like to follow up on this term, lifestyle different from generally accepted lifestyle standard of the community, to make sure that we establish on the record what that means and what it doesn't mean. There are some things that I think cross that line. They're generally not accepted standards, and I wouldn't want that to be protected by this law. There are other things that I think are fine, like what you talked about. I mean, I used to call some of these people hippies back when I was in college, and my grandmother even called me that once when I came home with hair that she thought was a little too long. But what does this mean to you, just so we can establish it? And Susan, maybe you can say how the department might interpret that.
I think what this means to me as an attorney for the department that has to go in on these cases is that in order for the department to have legal custody of a child, the department should have to prove abuse or neglect. The child is at risk of harm. If the only evidence the department has is, Your Honor, this family lives in a cabin with no running water, the department should not be involved in these cases. Either we have abuse or neglect, or we don't have grounds to be involved. That may protect lifestyles that you or I don't approve of or don't think is okay. But I think what we're saying is if it's not abuse or neglect, the state should not be involved. So we should not be taking custody because we disapprove of the way a family lives. It's designed to be a limitation on the state interfering in the family.
Is that sufficient answer? Representative Dyson?
You want to add any more?
Finally, this is going to, probably for you and I, Senator Lehman, going to get down to the fact that we have not yet empowered the state to take custody of a child because the parents are doing things that you and I might think to be morally incorrect. We can't take custody of a child because the parents are promiscuous, for instance, unless the child is being neglected. Now, you know, I thoroughly disagree with the promiscuous married lifestyle, but this, we, under existing law, doesn't do this. And this would keep them from doing it, just like if someone was, let's say, a natural law advocate, you know, or something like that, or some philosophy that's not generally accepted, that we are not empowered to do this, and this makes it even clearer that that's not true. A child has to be being abused and neglected. I might be really uneasy about a family that has no discipline and the children are absolutely not learning self-control, you know, and how to control their own emotions and their own activities and be obedient and respectful. The state is not empowered to take custody under those cases. And it's, in my view, it's absolutely a balancing act. And some of these are judgment calls that will never be done perfectly. This strengthens, as Susan has said, the parents' rights and the family's right to raise their kids however they choose, short of neglect and abuse.
Other discussion? Representative Dyson, any final comments?
No. I appreciate you all hearing this.
Pleasure of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, move to report this bill.
Objection to the motion to move 366 out of committee. Hearing none, House Bill 366 is moved to committee with individual recommendations. Anything to come before the committee? This, I think, will be our last HES committee. I'd like to thank my committee for the last 2 years of loyal service. I think we've done a lot of good, and I appreciate you and your patience with me as a fledgling legislator. And Lynn, thank you. And to Michelle, you've been here every meeting.
I know.
Thank you very much. We're adjourned.
She gets it.